It's Friday the 13th. Joining us this morning from Old Bay Fire is Amy Conlon. Good morning.
Good morning.
We've got a couple of interesting things to kick around, but the first one for this morning is our Why Do We Say That? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Why do we say something is right down someone's alley?
I don't know.
Most English cities and towns of long ago had many more narrow alleys than broad streets. Most of them still retain that pattern today. Except for members of the wealthy gentry, people are more likely to live on an alley than not. Asked to make a delivery or purchase close to a home, it was natural to respond, "That's right down my alley." This very British expression for "it's close to home" seemed to early Americans just the right way of indicating that this is something I'm just the right person to do.
Interesting.
There you go.
All right.
I guess we're Anglo-Saxon based. What a shocker, huh? Oh, boy. What's it like in a fire department?
Busy. Good sense of togetherness and belonging.
Kind of like an athletic
bond
team kind of thing?
You're a team. Absolutely. I would definitely say you're a team.
But the senior management can shift significantly. I suppose it would be like a coach.
Yeah.
Fired or moving on, and then you bring somebody else in. But the culture of a fire department seems to be, and maybe it's because it's storied or it's historical or we have kind of Norman Rockwell-ized it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something very unique. Is that the case inside looking out also?
I think so. I mean, you have a group of people, you know, if you're on a crew of three or four that you live and work with for 48, 72, 96 hours at a time, I mean, they really do become your second family. And the crews change over time, you know, every year or two, you know, you might shift around different stations, different crews. And as far as the leadership goes, I mean, it's typically people who move up through the ranks. You know, you start as a firefighter, move up to engineer, captain, battalion chief, so on and so forth. So there is some familiarity there, too, even through the shifting.
Is there a lot of vertical horizontal transfers from other departments? Now, you hear about it with the police guys. You
know, yeah.
A sergeant here becomes a sergeant in another town or bumps up to a lieutenant, but they kind of get credit for time served, so to speak.
Right. I would definitely say most of our hires come in at the firefighter rank and then move up through there. And in the 4 years that I've been with Humboldt Bay, I haven't seen someone come in as an engineer or a captain. But it does happen.
Have they gone out, left Humboldt Bay Fire to go to another department and been able to either maintain that status or to go up?
Yeah, we've had people leave for other departments. Yeah, absolutely. You know, most folks are going back to a place that they grew up or, you know, a bigger city, you know, more of an environment that they're used to. Humboldt's not for everybody, but.
Yeah. Only the smart ones. the lure of going home. Okay. You know, unless you've been away for long enough where it's changed.
Right.
So it ain't home anymore.
Right.
It's something else. You know, that would be a little bit of a challenge, I would think. So when you're looking for an addition, whether it's an office person or somebody else, the fact that they are a local, does that carry points?
I think it does, just in that, you know, you're kind of familiar with the area. If you're going to be on an engine, you have some sort of familiarity with the area, what it's like to work here. I think being a local, says to me, I'm not the person hiring, but it does say to me that you're someone who realizes where you're going in coming to Humboldt Bay Fire, and you realize the kind of town you're going to be working in, and you might not up and leave. You know, you might not just come here and discover you don't like it here or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, some of the situations that others deal with on a regular basis.
Right.
I'm thinking like the hospital.
Right.
You move to town, everything looks great, bucolic for 6 months, and then you start to see things with weather changes or.
Yeah, you see California and you're like, oh, yeah, I want to go to California, and thinking, you know, picturing Southern California, yeah, you know, surfing without wetsuits on and whatnot. And then you get here and you're like, well, what is
yeah.
I didn't realize California went north this far. What happened?
Yeah, surprise, surprise, surprise. What is the ideal profile for somebody in fire service?
I think someone who really wants to help other people genuinely, because the work that especially the crews do, it's too much if you don't actually care about what you're doing, because it's, you know, fires themselves and the adrenaline and excitement and whatnot that you get after putting out a fire, that's 5% of the calls. You know, 65% is the medical calls where you're dealing with, you know, people over and over again who are having the same issue or, you know.
Or worse,
you know, just people at their worst day. And so if you don't actually have a heart for that, the job will get to you.
So how do you know if you are or not? I mean, can you test for that?
Well, there's, you know, certain qualifications that the person needs to have. So, you know, for a firefighter position, they'll have gone through an academy and they'll have gone through, you know, all their medical training.
You know how to pull hose and apply a tourniquet. Great. Okay. And right. Band-Aid is another, you know, subspecialty. But the empathy, sympathy, or lack of.
Yeah.
You know, and I would suspect that there are probably some positions that's not a requirement. The technical side.
Sure.
Of things.
Yeah.
Punch, punch, boom, boom, boom. But if you're interacting with people,
right,
it's a whole different dynamic.
Yeah. I think the culture of the department you go into has a lot to do with that, you know. I'm really thankful for the culture of our department. You know, our leadership is fantastic. Our team members are fantastic. And, you know, you're going to a place where there's real integrity behind the curtain. And so that's, you know, that's what I would hope for every department. But it's certainly what we have here.
Yeah, you know that there's some that do and some that don't. Some that have it and some that are looking for it.
Right.
Or recognizing that it's not there, at least trying to do something.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Everybody, I think, they still do it in elementary school or junior high, does that profile test. What are you best to be? Oh, you're supposed to be.
Right.
Or your personality. It's like, no. When I was 12, that was the case.
Right.
or 13. That's not going to define my life. But it's positive confirmation for some people, too. You know, they have an interest in being, let's say, a firefighter, and whatever the profile is says, yeah, firefighter or a librarian or something.
Yeah. And I think nowadays there's so much more exposure, just given the internet culture and whatnot, to what jobs are out there.
Yeah, I heard something last week that said there are 2 jobs for every person looking for a job right now in America.
Wow.
Yeah. Depending on what side of that spectrum you're on, that's a good thing or a frightening one. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Amy Conlon from Humboldt Bay Fire. Part of the reason we've been talking a little bit is somebody in this room is going to be not in this room in the next couple of months. And I don't think their name is Papstein, at least I hope.
You just scared all your listeners.
Yeah, well, or encouraged them. So what's going on here?
Well, we've got some flux happening at the station. So we're recruiting career firefighters like we've been talking about. But my position's going to be open as well. I'm going to be leaving and heading back towards my hometown. My family's down there and needs some help right now. And so I'll be leaving.
You don't
as
even
well.
Want to tell people where your hometown is?
Oh, Santa Rosa.
Okay.
I'm not that secretive.
Proud to a point.
Yeah, I'll be going down south a little ways. And
so when people think or hear about what your position is.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone really knows.
That's what I was going to ask. You know, they may think like the equivalent of a PIO.
Yep.
Okay, or PR.
That's part of it.
PR position. Yeah. But that there are jobs and careers in firefighting that have absolutely nothing to do with water.
Yeah, I mean, I would say my position has kind of four major categories. The PIO you mentioned is part of it. So being the public information officer for the department. So doing things like this, radio interviews, TV interviews.
Suffering through these things. Okay, I heard what you said.
Being on scene, you know, fires and large incidents and whatnot, and being there to help report to, you know, our community what's going on.
Kind of document.
Yeah, you know, doing all of our social media stuff, just basically getting the word out. Another part is being a grant writer for the department. So, you know, finding, writing, managing grants to help meet the needs of the department as well. So those are two. That's two. General fire, you know, we used to call it fire prevention. We call it community risk reduction now, hence my name.
You can't just go with community education.
That risk reduction. Okay. Yeah, because we are an all-risk department. So, like I said, fires only make up 5% of our calls. So we're trying to, you know, reduce all the risk. But, yeah, so that includes, you know, all the inspections, managing that, all the inspection software, investigations, all that kind of stuff. And then there's the public education side. So doing trainings, you know, fire extinguisher training, CPR, school visits, all that kind of stuff. So it's a really unique position, honestly. You know, there's a good balance of administrative tasks and being out in the field. And I really encourage anyone listening who feels like they might be a good fit to apply.
I would think grant writing would be something that is critical, learned, but it's also so creative.
Yeah.
You know, how do we qualify for this grant, and you massage it to the point where it looks like you qualify, but doing the research and finding out and really marrying what the intent is.
Right.
Rather than just seeing it as a funding opportunity. True or false?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. There are a lot of grants out there, but like you said, everyone has their own intention for what those funds are going to be going towards. And so it's starts with understanding what the needs of the department are and doing that research to find an opportunity that is looking to fund such a thing. And that might be local, state, federal, and there's a lot of moving parts to that.
Yeah, foundations.
Yeah, sure.
So what does success look like?
I mean, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because it's such a multi-pronged position, yeah, I know what success looks like for my job at the end of the day.
Sure.
Okay. What does success look like for your job at the end of the day?
I mean, I think ultimately, I mean, when you boil everything down, it's kind of in the name. It's figuring out a way to reduce the risk of this community. So whether it's, you know, being successful in grant writing and helping get some equipment that prepares our firefighters for, you know, what they're going to be facing out in the field. You know, whether it's being that voice of the department to the public that gets them to, you know, evacuate the tsunami zone when the sirens go off, you know, whatever it is, making an impact and helping our crews and the public, you know, just be safer at the end of the day.
Somebody told me they were getting rid of the horns.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, that's good for the horns are good for
the locals?
The locals. Yeah, you kind of need those. Yeah. I would be surprised. I haven't heard that.
I'm suddenly a little bit more sensitive to that one. what is the ideal background for somebody for that position? Because, you know, there's a grant writer. I mean, if they're really dialed in, you can put them in a room with no windows. And
sure.
They're going to be able to be very content and happy and get the job done.
Yeah.
A PR person is out there interacting, having fun, talking, being with, you know, that seems like it would be two different profiles.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the hard part about this job is that there are so many different angles someone can come at it with, but it also opens up a lot of opportunities. So, I mean, there are written down, you know, desired minimum qualifications on the job posting on our website that folks can check out, but
What would be the biggest surprise as a job requirement? What's the biggest surprise?
Oh, I mean, honestly, the minimum requirements aren't that strong. I would hope for someone who has some fire knowledge coming in, you know, maybe someone who has volunteer experience.
Oh, not what end of the match to use.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
No. Here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with the current Community Risk Reduction Officer for Humble Bay Fire, Amy Conlon. Now, you mentioned also that there are career positions available in the fire department also, which to me is interesting. And I go... My reference is back when Dave Tooley was city manager, so that's like 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that almost makes me sound old, huh? Okay. And he said, you know, fire, there were two things. Sidewalks are the calling card for a community.
Hmm.
So if the gutters are clean and the weeds are down, it's nice. And if it's not, eh. And that finding firefighters was one of the easier positions to fill.
Yeah, there used to be thousands of applicants for every job opening.
What happened?
I don't know exactly what happened. I think that there's been more of a push society-wise for everyone to go right into college after school, and there's been less marketing for
vocational
job openings. But also there are, you know, significant requirements for becoming, you know, entering into a career firefighter position with a municipal department like ours. So you have to have gone through an academy or have, you know, gotten your firefighter one, have your EMT, you know, and those all take time. So
there is preliminary work that has to occur.
Absolutely.
You just can't walk in off the street, throw your application down and say, good to go.
Right. So someone kind of has to have the foresight to know that they're interested in a career in fire and move through those steps prior to. And it's not to say you have to have all the training. We do train everyone who comes in. They go through an internal academy and whatnot, but you do have to have your firefighter one. You do have to have your EMT. You have to, you know, go through the state testing and all that kind of stuff.
So is that just a weekend class?
No.
Kind of thing? I mean, I think, let's say it's a college grad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I got a four-year in poli-sci.
Or fire science.
Okay, or fire science, you know, if I was more knowledgeable going in,
mm-hmm.
instead of just having a degree and going,
sure.
Hey, that kind of sounds like it'd be kind of cool. Then you got to go to the, I guess, what, Butte, the JC Academy, and go through that?
Sure, yeah. There's a few different ones. A few different fire academies are usually 3 months or so long. It's the same thing with an EMT, although a lot of the academies will put you through your EMT if you don't have it already.
So you do that during the summer if you were going to college on a traditional track, a four-year track. You could take your 3 months of summer and go through that?
If the schedule's lined up, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And the school's open.
Yeah.
And the gas, you know, right. You can still get their campus to attend classes. Yeah, okay.
Right, yeah.
It's not an online program.
No, certainly not.
It's a hands-on.
Right.
So you get that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make the application, or is there volunteerism that's part of it, community involvement that's part of it, other elements that you're looking for also?
Well, as you know, as long as they have met the requirements on paper, they'll, you know, move forward and get an interview. But yeah, we have firefighters who have started out on the volunteer side. And you used to be able to work through a volunteer firefighter task book and send that in.
Arcata Fire or one of the other small community fire volunteer departments. I guess Fortuna would have been there also.
I think the requirements for the California Firefighter one have changed, where now they're not doing the volunteer task books. Don't quote me on that, but I think you now need to go through a formalized academy for that.
So it's a little
bit volunteer
more
experience is always welcome.
Now, that's for the firefighter, but for you, the position we were talking about in the last segment, your slot.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case.
No, that's not a requirement. You don't have to have your firefighter one. You don't have to be an EMT. You're not going to be doing engine response. So those qualifications aren't needed.
You still can wash the fire truck, though, can't you?
Certainly.
Just stay away from the wax.
we like, you know, everyone pulling their weight and helping out where they can help out.
Everybody gets a Swifter. Okay. Oh, most of the folks that start as an entry-level fireman, do they stay in the career, or is there a recognition point? 6 months, 2 years, 6 years, where they go, you know, this just really isn't what I thought it would be, and move out of the industry?
That's happened, but it's not the majority. I think most people who, like I said, there's quite a few steps before you enter the career. And I think most people who make it that way, it seems to be a lifelong decision. And, you know, people retire out and still have trouble moving on. You know, you've had that relationship, that second home for so long that, usually when we have our folks retire out, you'll see them come by, you know, initially quite a bit, you know, reconnecting with people. And
still there. Well, I think of some of my buds that went through, they're still touching bases,
mm-hmm.
you know, not to mention anyone in specific, Eddie, but.
Yeah, I mean, those are lifelong relationships.
And if it is really part of what you are,
mm-hmm.
you don't just turn that one off.
Right.
At a magic date.
I think
how long can you be a fireman? 30 years, 40 years?
I mean, it just all depends on the individual person. As long as you're meeting the, you know, the physical requirements, there's physical, you know, you have a physical every year. And as long as you're healthy and able to continue on, then, you know, you could do it as long as your body's able to.
Or you move into, I would imagine as you move up the ladder in the management structure.
Sure.
There's less fire trucks and there's more pencil lead.
Yeah, you know, once you move past the captain level and you're off, you know, at least for us, and you're off an engine, there's a little bit less of the hands-on, certainly.
But still probably the same urge to respond when the bell goes.
Oh, yeah, and you're still, you know, acting as incident command for incidents, and you still need to be able to meet the requirements of the job. So.
The management administrative elements of an event.
Absolutely.
Rather than go charging into the building.
Right.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to 7 cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Amy Conlon. Hey, this might be your last one. When are you checking out?
June 10th should be my last day. Yeah, so just over a month left.
Yeah, I don't suspect that you're going to want to be here on your last day. What are you going to miss?
Oh, man, I'm going to miss all the people I work with. I love the people I work with. I really do love my job, and I feel that not everyone can say that. You know, I don't dread going to work at all. Every day is different. I get to do so many different things and work with so many great people, and that's what I'm really going to miss, is being a part of that.
The team, they talk about that with sports also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and whether it's the collegiate model, and then it's gone, or the high school, and it's only 4 years.
Right.
But some of the pros, you know, after 15, 20 years, it's like they miss not the game and the aches and the pains, but the locker room.
Right, sure.
The before and the after and that stuff, practice. They miss practice because that's still where the passion is. I would think that element, you know, maybe this thing you're not going to miss too much in front of a TV camera or things like that. But, you know, the rush of getting a grant.
Sure.
How cool that must be when you get the authorization.
Right.
You know, all right, we're able to do bum, 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 bum.
Oh, yeah.
So I would think grant writing is going to be something that will be an employable skill set for you down the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere needs funds, right? So,
you might even be able to do that for our guys.
Well, I hope to end up with another department. You know, the next place that I move, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to be doing yet, but I hope to go somewhere again where I can continue to make a difference. And yeah, we'll see where I end up, but I'll definitely miss in the meantime being able to say, hey, you know that thing that you wanted? We got it. We got the money for it, you know.
What about being on the incidents? You know, if you're not pulling hose, okay. Yeah. You're not driving with the whirly bird, okay. But there's still the dynamics.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of like election nights or that kind of just it's live, it's there. When it's done, it's over, and you move on. I would think that there's not too many jobs that are similar in that regard.
Yeah. Being a part of the incidents, being present at the incidents is definitely a really cool part of my job, but unique, you know. So I'm not on the engine. I'm not the one going in and responding. But if it's a fire, you know, I might be the one talking to the person who's actively losing their home, or, you know, I might be the one who has to tell them that their pet didn't make it out, or, you know, so it's unique, absolutely. And it's something that people don't always get to experience, being a part of those scenes. I've been fortunate enough to become a fire investigator since I've been with the department. So once folks clear out and the scene is under control, then I get to put on my goggles and helmet and go in and figure out what happened there.
Play detective.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that part of my job. I love getting to figure out what happened and then tying that back to prevention work and figuring out how we can make sure it doesn't happen again.
I would think that would be attractive for a lot of people.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, I love it.
If you like puzzles or mysteries or that kind of thing.
Yes.
And that's kind of what the grant writing is also. You know, how do we solve this equation?
Yeah. I'm not nearly as passionate about the grant writing. It's exciting for the moment when you get it, but the management after the fact is definitely a bear. But yeah.
Details. Yeah.
Definitely an organized person. For all you organized people out there, go to hbfire.org.
Yeah, it's easy to find the two applications there, either for firefighter or for your position.
They're both on the same page. So if you go to our website, hbfire.org, and you click on position openings, they're all right there, and it'll take you right to the application packet.
Oh, so it's not the same. Be sure you click on the right box.
Click on the right one. Yeah. Yes. You might find yourself in a place you're not ready to be in.
Yeah. What is this all about? Well, cool. I'm sure they're going to be doing something for you next month. Yeah, if nothing else, an official melting of your key.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we're moving into fire season, too. So who knows? It's going to be, this is our busy time. So.
Yeah. Yeah, 'tis the season. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah. We'll see what this year brings.
Yeah. Any final words? Duck has flown. Any final words?
Oh, I just thank you to this community for supporting me for so long for dealing with this face, this voice for 4 years. I'm looking forward to helping find a new person to take this place and just thank you, everyone, for all your support.
Kind of transition them
into
the job. Nice to see you. Betsy, it's not Mother's Day. Happy Memorial Day. And no fires. See everybody on Monday.